Now, he's speaking in a total different way. He's speaking here about business conduct and business ethics. He says, my son, Beni, my son, im orafto l'reyecho, if you've stood surety for your friend, meaning if you became a co-signer, you backed a note or a loan, l'reyecho, for your friend, somebody loaned your friend money, and you took on the responsibility. That's called an orev, an orev. Tokato lezor kapecha. Either you did it by signing a note or by a handshake. Tokato lekor, you put out your hand. Atkiyas kaf is an expression that we use when somebody, when you commit a deal or something, so you always give a tkiyas kaf, meaning sticking out your hand. A handshake is a tkiyas kaf. Tokato lazor kapecho. And therefore, you may have done this a little bit too early. You didn't check in this guy's credit rating that you're backing. No kashto, therefore you became trapped and ensnared and troubled. Beimre ficho, by the sayings of your mouth. Nilkaritor, you came trapped, and Nilkaritor, you were caught, Beimre ficho. And what should you do? You spoke up a little bit too quick. I say zos, do the following. Eifo beni, I say zos, your solution is the following. I say zos, eifo beni, do this then, my son, be ye not sail and be saved. Ki vosa bekafreecha, because you have already gone into your friend's hand. That means you're laying in his trap. Therefore, hischapes, try to extricate yourself. Uhav reecha. So how are you going to do that? You got to get out of his grasp. So humble yourself and give him superiority. It means recognize that indeed he has the upper hand. Now, you were trapped, you really never owed him money, but you were trapped with that which you spoke, and some way you want to get out of this Ivers, and you want to get the Malva's favor, that he shouldn't call in the note on you. And you may have treated him in the past with disdain, you may have been haughty, so humble yourself for him, that he doesn't call in the note. In that way, you'll be able to perhaps extricate yourself from that which you've become ensnared in. So this is the literal interpretation. Now, we also, Rashi quotes a Medrash that says that the idea was when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave the Torah, we stood as responsible, we were an orif for the Torah. Now you undertook at Har Sinai, you undertook with a oath and with a curse to observe all the commandments. Now you turned away from Hashem's ways. It says, no, you became responsible to God and you accepted this curse. And then what did you do? Tokato lazor kapecho. Then you turned away from God and you reached out and gave your hand to someone else, to a stranger. Now, be doing that, no kashta b'imre ficho. You gave your hand to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so since you've come into his hand and you've accepted his godliness over you, so you can't leave him, the smart thing for you to do was humble yourself before him. Bring other people who will pray for you and intercede on your behalf, so that God doesn't call in the note, because you would accept it with a curse and with a vow, with an oath, that you would listen to him. You have to appease him. Now this is a famous pasuk. Al titein sheino leinecho. Therefore, don't give any sleep to your eyes. Meaning this is a very serious matter, both in its literal sense in the loan, and also because he will call in the loan, and also in your relationship with God. Al titein sheino leinecho usnumo, nor slumber lafapecho, to your eyelids. Even if you won't fall into a deep sleep, so maybe you'll begin to slumber with your eyelids. Just want to repeat that again. Al titein sheino leinecho usnumo lafapecho. That means don't let yourself fall asleep. Don't be lazy concerning this. It first told you to humble yourself before the person that you owe money to. Obligate yourself and then pay back the debt. So it says don't, shaino means normally sleep. The person has hours that he sleeps. And snuma means to chapadremel. So it says don't give yourself the license to sleep like you're accustomed to do, but also snuma, not even to snatch, the Malbim says, not even to snatch a moment, but you should diligently keep on proving yourself and make amends to that which you had for neglected in the past. Hinotzeil kitzvi miyod. Try to extricate yourself, to free yourself, kitzvi, like a tzvi. Now, as a deer that runs very quick, and if a deer is going to be caught, it runs even quicker. So, hinotzeil kitzvi miyod. Look at the obligations that you have as if this obligation would be a trap or a hunter that's trying to snare you, to trying to capture you. So run with the same fervor, run with the same zeal as a tzvi does. Uketzipor are like a bird, miyad yakush, from the hand of the one who tries to set a trap. When the bird realizes that there's a trap, it flies away, which tries to snare you. Or if you had to add something, you'd say like a fly from the hand of the one that tries to hit it. You ever try to clap a fly? So that fly gives the last second, the fly gives it when he realizes there's danger. So you should have, this should be a natural instinct in the person. You also see from this pasuk that a person has this natural instinct. That means that, let's take a look at the next sentence even, and this is oft quoted. The Hinotzeil Kitzvi is not that oft quoted, but Leichel Nemolo Otzeil, the Mesilas Yeshoim, always speaks about Zrizus, when he speaks about a person to fulfill his obligations with enthusiasm, with agility, to move around, not to be a laggard, not to be lazy. So he uses the expression, he quotes the Pasuk of Mishle, which Mishle used the expression, Leich, go and find out, El Nemola, to a little ant. Otzeil meaning you person who is a little sluggish and a sluggard, Re'ed Rochecha, see the way the ant works, V'chacham, and become wise. Now what does this mean? The ant, he says, Asher Ein Lo Kotzin, Shoter Umosheil. The ant doesn't have anybody who's her captain, who's her ruler. Her shoteir is like one who is like a policeman, umosheel, and a ruler. She doesn't have that yet. On her own initiative, she goes ahead and tochin bekayitz lachmo. In the summertime, she gathers up her bread. Ogra bekotzir macholo. She gathers also bikotzir, when the grain is cut, she makes sure, it's like repeating, she made sure to gather her food. So they speak out that she earns an innocent living. She uses intelligence that she has, or the initiative she has, to gather for herself. She doesn't depend on somebody else that they should gather food, and then she will try to steal their food and take that which is not justly hers. God could have given the Nemola the wisdom or the desire, when it sees food by somebody else, to go and grab that food. But a Nemola doesn't grab that food. A Nemola, its instinct is to be straight. That's the way the Mefarshim here speak about the Nemola. That the Nemola puts in an honest day's work. In the summer she goes to Biogir, Vikotzir, to bring food for herself. Now, all of these, Mesilas Yeshoim uses a different expression, Leicha Nemola Atzeil, for a different reason, not about the honesty of the Nemola, and it would fit in better here, but with the fact that the Nemola is not Atzeil, meaning a sluggard. So the idea is a person will say, who is lazy, so lazy means I'll take from Yenim, so I'll steal from Yenim. So he goes here, that's the way the Mitzudas learns that. Honesty, but he speaks Faket. He says, a Nemola, how long does a Nemola live? and the mullah's lifespan is very short, very small. Yet it's constantly involved in trying to accumulate food. So there's a positive benefit there. There's also a negative lesson there. That means if a person is constantly involved in that, but he doesn't, the emphasis is that the person has this resource, he has the enthusiasm, he has the mehiris, he has the quickness, he could learn that from an amola. Now what did Shlomo HaMelech take here? He says, don't let your eyes fall asleep. Go and become like a tzvi, like a deer. Go to the ant, to the fly. What does this mean? It means that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam created these keches within us, these powers or these tendencies that these animals or beasts or insects even have. They're all within us. We have the ability to use it. And I always relate back to the pasuk of Nasa Odom that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam spoke to the entire Bria, in a sense, to all the previous creations. They should all participate. What does the pshat participate? That their characteristics that they have will go into man. So man puts himself down and he can fall asleep, but he doesn't have to sleep. He has within him the ability to be a tzvi, to be like a deer. You learn the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch starts out the first sif, Rotz ka tzvi v'gibor ka ari la'aseis ritzein avicha shabashamayim. Now, if he compares you to a lion and to a deer, that means you have this capability to be like a lion and a deer. How do you have this capability? Because that's part of human nature. Human nature. Now, the way they learn, it's also human nature to be what? To be honest. Elokim asa Adam yashar, it says, God has made man straight. Vehema bikshu tachbeil eschabim. And they have gone ahead and searched on their own. They've come up with many different tachbolas, with many different schemes and many different ideas. Now, when you go back and you look at the world development, in the old days they didn't have the financial markets of Wall Street, in a sense. I mean, people would earn a living by productivity. That means by doing an honest day's work or doing something which is usable for mankind. Here, this whole concept, really, of dealing in paper and becoming wealthy, when you analyze it in a very simple way, somebody has to pay for it. But somebody is paying for it, you know what I mean? Somebody is really paying for it. Who's paying for it? If you'll sit in 1,000 offices in lower Manhattan, and you'll go with the computers and with the ticker tapes, and with the, fine, it's all terrific, but who's paying for the paper? Who's paying for this? Somebody has to be paying. There has to be a GNP in the world, a national product that has to pay and that pays for this. Now the question is this the way it should be? Now the Nemullah doesn't go into this. The Nemullah goes out to the Katsir and it takes food and it goes. He doesn't have this kind, doesn't mean steal. There are different ways of steal. I don't sound almost like a communist. I mean, it's not the question of exploitation of the masses, right? Exploitation. But what we have done is we've built up a whole different perspective of the world, of the direction.
Nothing is produced by
this. Nothing is produced. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. That's basically it. I mean, if you want to put it down in very rude terms, we could both become a millionaire in 2 minutes, you know? You want to buy this for $500,000? Right, and then I'll buy it back to you from a million. So I mean, we're millionaires. You never became that quick a millionaire. Doesn't mean anything. There has to be somebody producing behind it. So the Nemullah doesn't mean that the Nemullah doesn't have the seichel, maybe, but it means the Nemullah doesn't go into that kind of business. It produces for itself. Also, the concept of honesty. I mean, in America, honesty means that you're lucky that you lock your door and nobody breaks into your house, right? And you're home. And I can never get over what I saw in Switzerland. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the Swiss people. So the honesty publicly that you have, you could leave a suitcase laying in the middle of nowhere and that suitcase will be there tomorrow. I didn't believe it, you know. I was going from Bern to Grunewald. From Zurich, I don't remember. So the guy says, a suitcase. So where? What am I going to pick? You'll pick it up there in the station. So I said, goodbye. I didn't know. I was schluffing the whole night from the plane. So then we're in this 4-mile train ride. So after about three, 4 hours, after about 3 hours, we're past these little villages. and I see on an empty train platform, there's a baggage cart, right? And there's one suitcase in that baggage cart, and I recognized mine. It was just like this. So I'm a mailer. So I said, goodbye, you crazy. I mean, you just go put a baggage cart in the middle of Manhattan, any place in America. Right? But when I got there, the suitcase was standing in the street with other suitcases, and nobody took it. Nobody. So the Tai Chi is that really a person is essentially honest. He has within him the ability to be honest. That's a gift that he got from the Bria, right? He has it from these things, but the idea is we clothe it, we disuse it, and we distort it, and so on. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling you, go back to the basics, the idea of honesty. And here he's speaking honesty in business. When you give your word should be kept under all circumstances. You have to use all of these lessons that you could learn from them. And al titen sheino le'inecho asnuma le'afapecho. Now, tochin b'kayitz, prepare in the summer when it's available, odre b'kotzer macholo. Now he goes further. Ad mosai otzeil tishkov. Now, of course, there are two ways of learning this. Some learn that this speaks about business relations, and others speak about our relationship with God. Ad mosai otzeil tishkov. You person who are lazy, indolent, how long will you lie in your bed? Mosai toku mishnosecho. When will you get up from your sleep? Now this is a tremendous, very simplistic phrase. In Yiddish there's a very Dvekes Dike Nigen, you know, they played over in these records. Al zo yidin voze shloftzir, 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know if you ever heard it. Zishin zai zu lernen teire, zishin zai zu gein davnen, there's a whole chorus, and it comes back, al zo yidin voze shloftzir. And whenever you hear that, actually somebody said, I just heard the tape on coming. It's a very moving song. A person starts reflecting, you know. And it's a very, this is a pasuk. Ad mosai otzel tishkov mosai toko mishunasefa. How long are you going to remain asleep? How lazy, long will you lie there? All right, this is a powerful word. Me'at shinais. Like a little bit of sleep. Me'at tenumos, a little bit of slumber. Me'at chibuk yodayim lishkov. You know, now, me'at shenais is the contrary to verse 4. In verse 4, he says, al titen sheino le'inecho. Don't let yourself enjoy sleep. So the Mitzvah says here, at mosai otzel tishkov. This is a follow-up on verse 9. He's saying, you'll say to yourself, me'at shenais, I just want to sleep a little bit more. I just want to slumber a little bit more. Or me'at chibik yadayim lishkov. You're sitting there in your class or wherever you're sitting, and you put your hand in there to chapat emel. So you just want a little bit more. Within you, there is this drive already to say, a little bit more, a little more. But the truth is that this little more is... The idea of saying a little more is very misleading, because this little more ends up that you missed the boat, you missed the train. Me'at shenois, me'at tenumos, he says. If you have this approach, you keep sleeping, so all of a sudden, ubo, and it will come, kimahalech reishecho, like a fast walker. Kimahalech reishecho here means your poorness, your poverty. You will be overtaken by your poverty. Say you had a reservoir of food, or you had a background, you had something there, and you say, well, I'll start studying. If we're speaking about studying, I'll start filling up with knowledge tomorrow, or I'll start, you know, my granary is going lower and lower, and I'll go out tomorrow. All of a sudden, before you turn around, you notice ubok and mahalach eshecha. You're empty. You're bankrupt. It caught up with you. You didn't expect. You just thought, I'm only sleeping. Nochabisol. Ubok and mahalach eshecha. Umachsocha keish morgain. And you want that which you want keish morgain as an armed man, meaning that you're. It'll be taken away from you. That which you're missing will be ke'ish magain, that you will have to give it up. An armed man who comes quickly as an aggressor to you and grabs that, you're robbed. So ke'ish magain, you're going to have to give up that which you lose because you're not really producing anything. Oram b'lial ish oven, a person, an unscrupulous person. Now he's going to describe a crooked businessman, in a sense. And he says, a person, Odom Blial. Blial means a person who has no responsibilities. Now that's the word Blial. Without, the word Blial means a lowly person, comes Blial, without a yoke. That's where the word Blial comes from. He doesn't bear a burden. He doesn't have any burden. He's a, in Yiddish it's a freie Fegel. He has no obligations to anybody. Ish oven, this person who is a scrupulous person, he's a man of violence. Holech akshus peh, he walks around with a crooked mouth, meaning he uses his mouth to express the evil thoughts that he has in his mind. Now, an Odom Blial, you could learn, is really a person who commits violence. A person who's dishonest and he fears flee, and when he gets into a situation, then he even will commit violence if necessary. Because the same license that he had to flaunt the norms, we'll say, of human decency, because of his own desires, right? He doesn't feel any obligation. So he can turn in to be the same concept or the same approach is that ish oven, he could be a person who will commit violent acts. Heilech ikshus peh. Now he describes him as dishonesty, that he walks around with a crooked mouth. Now he's describing, as you'll see within the text, the other aspects. Korates be'enov, he'll wink with his eyes. That means, so then the crooked mouth would mean he'll say something, but it's really not true, it's really crooked. He'll wink with his eyes, but it'll be deceit. Molel biraglov, he'll shuffle with his feet, like he rubs one foot on the other. More be'etzba'esov, he shows, he points, like the word more, be'etzba'esov, with his fingers. Ta'puchos belibe, his heart is perverted. That means, although he says no, he means really yes, or yes really means no. Politician. Choresh raw, he plots evil at all times. Lo sachrish al re'acha raw, meaning he's always plotting evil. Becholeis, at all times, midyonim sholach, he incites quarrels. He tries to bring about, Rashi says this means that, you know, that a person who casts off the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the obligations, El Malchus Shemayim. So therefore he brings about all of mankind should rebel against God. It doesn't have to be against Hashem. A person who casts off the yoke of a human being, you know, of like we described before, of what a human being should be, so that person also has these qualities. That means you, physically, instead of having within him these characteristics that were beneficial to man, even the outward physical body he uses in a detrimental fashion. It means a mouth was given to speak. Forget the characteristics that are not visible. But the mouth was given for something, the hands were given for something, the feet were given for something. The mind was, he uses all of these things contrary to human decency and to human behavior. Always plotting and always designing and always trying to cause harm. You know, we say the idea of people who bear evil tales, you know, against someone else can destroy a world. You know what I mean? I, in a certain case, I'm involved in that. I've really seen this. People with wagging tongues have caused, we'll say, so much damage. It's almost irreparable. It's unbelievable. And you can't appreciate that till you see cases in life, you know, where if a person wouldn't have sought to act like a snake, none of their business, and wouldn't have gotten involved, a whole different world. I mean, it's a little, mamish, unbelievable. So this kind of a person doesn't give any, doesn't have any safeguards on him. There's nothing, he's just to cause harm. Al Cain, therefore, since he is that evil, Pisaim, ultimately, suddenly, Yoveh Eidei, his day of reckoning will come. Eidei meaning in the form of punishment. Pesa Yishoveh Ve'ein Marpeh. He will so be broken, his fortune will come, he will so be broken, Ve'ein Marpeh, and there is no way to heal him. Now, he described many attributes, negative attributes. Then he goes further and he says, Sheish, Hine, Sone, Hashem. These six things Hashem detests. So the Malbim says, what are the six things? Six things, the Malbim says, relates to the previous characteristics that we mentioned. His mouth, his eyes, his feet, his hands, his heart, and the fact that he causes people to go into strife. So these six things are abominations. Hashem hates them. However, Visheva, there is a seventh one, which is included, and it's Toavas Nafshei, which is an abomination of his soul. What are these six things? Einayim Romeis, the six things, and these are repeated, if you'll look back, similarly, these are the same things that he mentioned previously, what the person does. But he says, right, so according to the Malbim, this goes on the previous thing. Now the Meiri says that this is referring to the evils that he's going to list here. Now there are certain similarities from these evils to before, so you could put it all into one pot. But the Meiri seems to say that Sheish, this is almost like a new section which describes similar characteristics, and it speaks about this being abominations of God. Einayim Romos. Einayim Romos means the person has eyes that are haughty. So the fact that he has eyes that are haughty, he wants to be recognized, this individual, as being somebody unique and so on. So therefore, nothing will stop him. Lashon Shakir. So the idea is that he will use a false tongue, because whatever it is, the people should go and believe him. Ve'yadayim sheifches dam noki, and he caused quarrels, and dam noki, and fresh blood of innocent people will be spilt because of einayim romos. The einayim romos could bring about, that's what starts it. It could bring about a lashon shakir. The person will lie and be deceitful, and yadayim sheifches dam noki, and lave a heart that always plots, choresh, like we said before, machshavas oven, raglayim, and feet, mimaros, that run, that hurry up to run to do evil. Yefiach kizovim eid sheker, he speaks lies, so much so that he testifies falsely. Mishaleach midonim beinachim. Mishaleach means like he throws out, he casts out, he throws out quarrels amongst brothers. So these are the things that Hashem despises. So now again, the Malbim says that these seven evils that he speaks here, they parallel, which we spoke about from verse 12 to verse 16. Except these are a little bit a higher dimension of each one. For example, Einayim Romos, haughty eyes. Before he was speaking that the guy winks with his eyes, okay? But here, he has haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Before, he says he walks with a crooked mouth. And here, the idea is a lying tongue. Before, he spoke about pointing with the finger. Now he says that the hands that shed innocent blood. Before he mentioned a heart that thinks thoughts of violence, here he says he plots evil. Feet that run to evil, that means shuffling to his feet. What is he saying? If you notice, each one of these are an extra dimension of what he said before. The idea is you can't just stop at what you had from verse 12 to 16. Because once your feet start shuffling in the wrong direction, they're going to end up running in the wrong direction. Once your mouth is a little crooked, your tongue will just come out with lies openly. So what it's trying to say is that the development, there are two ways of looking at it. This is a further development of the previous flaws in this person's character. Or it's all there in a sense, but it will come out gradually. All right, this is what he says. So haughty eyes is one, and the haughty eyes really lead to the other. The Miri says, Einayim Romas, when it says, V'sheva to'avas nafshe, the seventh is really the abomination, the Miri's interpretation, that this is a new idea. The Malbim says these are reflections of the previous ills of man, verse 12 to 16. Meiri says that this is a new, further degradation. Six God doesn't like, but seven is really an abomination. Now we say, Te'avas Hashem, we always quote, Kol Geva Lev. In Pirkei Avos also it says that a person who goes with his head up, so it's Kilu Dechik, you know, the Chazal tells, Ragle Hashchina. It's like there's no room for God in this world. So To'avas Hashem, arrogance, Einayim Romos, that's the furthest level. That's what God hates. That's an abomination. And then after the Einayim Romos, which he hates, you have listed six other flaws that come from this mother of all deficiencies. So they all activate themselves in different ways, but it comes from the source of Alei Gevea. So this source is the To'avas Hashem. Why? Because not only in itself, you know what I mean? In itself it's bad enough. But it causes and it afflicts mankind through being used or being the reason for all the other problems that he describes here. This is the way the Miri learns it. It's so true in human nature. I mean, then he says, therefore, nitzor b'ni mitzvah savicho. Now, my answer to you is to keep the commands of your father. Again, keeping the commands of your father means bein odom lemokim, but also bein odom lechaveyo. The fact is that the guy wears a yarmulke and he's a swindler doesn't mean he keeps the commands of your father. It means he's no frumer than what? My Rebbe always used to emphasize that. You know, you frum yidden, they always used to throw up that you steal in that, right? So, I mean, he says, you frum yidden that you eat treifes. What constitutes a frum yid? The fact that he goes to yarmulke eats kosher. So you could turn around, so therefore the irreligious will come and say, oh, you religious Jews, you steal and you do this and you eat kosher. So he could say to them, you religious Jews, you don't steal and you do this, but you go ahead and you eat treifas. So I mean, so which, what constitutes makes one more religious than the other? The answer is because we've grasped really the easier thing. It's a lot easier to guide what goes into your mouth than what goes out of your mouth. That we know because Lashon Hara. It's easier to guard what goes into your mouth, Rav Chaim used to say, than to guard what comes out of the mouth. So when people have to be frum, they'd rather accept to guard against going in, because it's easier than to guard against going out. So these, but truly, you can't say that they have tainus to us, or we have tainus to them. What kind of a frum person are you, you know? What kind? So it's not one is greater than the other. So in a sense, if Nitzor B'nim Mitzvah Sovicha, even if you learn all the previous passages as dealing Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, so you have the same phrase, Nitzor B'ni Mitzvah Sovicha. If you'll keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, then you won't behave in that improper way. Ve'al Titoish Teiras Imecho. And again, we find the expression, V'al titesh teres imecha. Now, this Rabbak says, he quotes a very interesting interpretation. When you look at the Torah, so you have two parts to the Torah. You have the mitzvahs of the Torah, but you also have the sipurim, the stories that the Torah deemed important enough to write. The whole Sefer Bereshis is basically the anhogos of her father. So he says, mitzvahs of Yicha means the mitzvahs of the Torah. Torah Simecha means the stories, the events that teach us how to behave under circumstances, that teach us what the ethical values of a person's life should be. So Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes both here. Nitzor b'ni mitzvah savicha v'al titesh teres imecha. Now, basically, that's the mother's job. The father will go away from the house and he'll say, when I come back, I want this, this, and this, and this done. He gives you a bunch of myths. The mother is the one that traditionally, you know, when she's home, or the one that the problem is when they don't have the mother, Nebuchadnezzar, in many cases, that they're forsaken in the development, in the mother deals with the episodes of life, and there's also a Teres Imecha, how these episodes will present themselves the same way that they did in the Torah, and this is really the mother. Koshreim al Libcha Tomi. Now again, bind them always upon your heart. Ondeim al gagavasecha. Make them, ondeim is also from the word tying. Ondeim al gagavasecha, around your neck. Put them around your neck. Shira, we find this expression. Ondeim is called shira. So make sure that you shouldn't go on them. You should always have it with you. Ondeim al gagavasecha. Make sure that you have it around your neck. These lessons, wherever you go, you should have this Nitzor B'ni, this verse 20, because you're going to need it throughout your life. Therefore, he quotes this pasuk, which we oft quote, Be'yisalachecha tancha osach, and Pirkei Avos, it's also quoted, when you walk, it'll lead you wherever you walk, because the truth is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it has within it, from the moment that you get up in the morning, to the final moment of your life, it has not only the mitzvahs, the dinim ben adam l'makim, but also ben adam l'chaveh. Hilchos Deis and the Rambam, you look at everything, there's sections. So therefore, it embraces everything. B'salechecha tancha esau, and b'shoch b'cha, when you sleep also, tishmar alecha, it will guard you. Now when it says when you walk and when you sleep, it can mean literally, or some say when you sleep means your final sleep, that the fact is the Torah will accompany you and will provide a shield for you. What does it mean the Torah accompanies you? Be'emes, if we say the Torah embraces everything, so we know there's a pasuk, Ve'holach lefonecha tzidkecha, and it's always interpreted that your tzedakah that you accomplish, Ve'holach lefonecha, will accompany you. Remember I once said that's why there were people, and they want to put all their receipts into the, symbolically, they put their receipts into the oron, you know, into the casket. And the idea is that they have all the kvitlach that they gave tzedakah, beholach lefanecha tzidkecha. It's in a symbolic thing, obviously, but that's what you can take with you. So when it says here, tishmor alecha, this will guard you. Now the word tzidkecha, we said, means charity, but we spoke Shabbos, brought down Hirsch's interpretation. Tzidkecha, if you remember, we said the Yachsheveho lo tzedakah, Hashem considered Avram's deed to be tzedakah, meaning a fulfillment of man's responsibilities. In Bereshis, he says that. So the idea here also of the holach lefanecha tzidkecha, meaning your whole life, whatever you fulfilled, whatever responsibilities, how you lived up to your calling, so veholach lefonecha, that will go in front of you. So therefore, tishmar alecha, it will guard you. V'akitzeisa hi tisichecha, meaning when you get up in the morning, if you learn that interpretation, v'akitzeisa hi tisichecha, the first thing you say is meide ani lefonecha, melechai v'kayim. So that's tisichecha, the first thing you say in the morning. The last thing you say is the Shema. Or it means when you get up for tchias hameisim. That means for the time of the resurrection, the judgment, that which will go along with you incorporates three periods here. The idea of life and the idea of afterlife and the idea of the resurrection. Now, the idea of the remembrance, like we spoke this weekend, we learned Chumash, the Ramban, at the end of this week's Sedrus is very clearly what we were speaking about. The Ramban said that the whole idea of the remembrance, filling, mezuzah, things of this nature, what is it here for? Because in it all has Yetzias Mitzrayim in it. It has Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says, because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, one time showed the whole world that Ani Hashem, that he is the one who supervises the world, he's the creator and he can change it. He's not going to appear in every generation to prove it again and again and again. So therefore, in order that it remain amongst mankind and that it be given over, you're going to have this with you whenever you walk in the door. Whenever, every day you're going to wear tefillin, you'll never be able to forget it. You'll never be able to transmit it. So it'll remain fresh, as if God has made this revelation for your generation. That's the way the Ramban explains at the end of last week's, at the end of Bo, He explains the mitzvahs that follow Yetzias Mitzrayim with the tefillin and so on, the psukim, the parshios. So by putting this on, of course, it's going to show how great you are. But on the other hand, I just read this story. There's a person, I must have seen it in the paper in Jewish, a person in Brooklyn, and when he takes a subway, so he always take a cab to the subway, but he would always stop from person a block before the subway. Why? Because around the subway, the traffic is terrible. So if the cab guy gets caught in that traffic, he'll have to be there for who knows, you know, it ruins 10 minutes of time. So he would always go a block before when the guy could just turn and go and not make him go through all the traffic and walk over there. So one time, this happened recently, a frum guy took it, you know, a young man, and he got out with the block. Probably the cab guy had him a few times before he realized what's happening. And another frum guy got into the creek, grabbed the cab when this guy got out. So this driver, who was a Spanish or Puerto Rican, a Tagoy, said to him, "Do you know why he does this?" He says, "Because he doesn't want me to get held up in traffic." So he says, "Praise to such people that have such ethics and such values." So it's really unbelievable. The Kiddush Hashem, that's mamish unbelievable. The ma'aser, like with the Tanya, the students came back. He was bought him an animal, Gemara, that he could go ahead and do business with. And then, because he was in poverty, and then they found miraculously, they found the jewel behind the ear, so he really could have had it. So he said, "No, I want you to take it back because I want them to say, praise is the God of so-and-so that has such people that it..." So, Koshrim al-Libecho, Tomid ondim al-Gagarisecho, there's many reactions to it. I mean, when the Goyim see this, it'll be beauty, the Torah, the fact that you have the Torah Simecho, not so much the mitzvahs of Icho, but also the Torah Simecho, will give you, in the other nations, that'll really give you beauty, and that will give you a... All right, we'll stop it.